We are studying, looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. As I've shared before, when I was growing up, there was not a lot in the tradition that I grew up in, there was not a lot of teaching on the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of the study that I've done in regards to the Holy Spirit has just been very impactful for my own life. And hopefully as we go through this, it's going to be impactful for you. How many of you have been through the God zone? Okay, several of you. I will share more about that at a later date, but anyway, pray for me because... Well, I'm going to start preaching or I won't get through. All right, we'll preach. We've discovered that the Holy Spirit's work in the hearts and lives of all non-believers, convicting them of sin, convincing them of there's need for righteousness and there is a coming judgment. Every lost person knows that. Whether they want to admit it or not, the Holy Spirit is at work in their life. I've met a lot of people who don't want to receive that, don't want to know that, but He's at work in their lives. But not only is at work in the lives of all non-believers, non-Christians, He's also at work in the life of every child of God. One of the things that He does for us as His children is to convict us of sin. That's a privilege. That's a blessing. It's not for God to condemn us. It's for us to say, hey, He's saying, I want a relationship with you, and your sin is keeping us from having that relationship. And so He convicts us of sin so that we can repent and come close to Him. He also, Scripture says, that He dwells within us. He preserves us. He keeps us for Himself. He seals us. We learned a couple of weeks ago that He's our counselor. He's our consoler. He's our advocate. He is our encourager. He's the one that comes along beside us. He's the one who guides us. Everyone needs to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And let me just say this. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And so who is the best interpreter of God's Word? It's not your commentators. Although commentators are good, and it's really not the notes that somebody writes at the bottom of your page. Okay, although those notes can sometimes be good, but the best interpreter for the Word of God is the one who gave the inspiration to write it, and His name's the Holy Spirit. I've known throughout my ministry and throughout my life, have you ever read anything in God's Word you didn't understand? If you've read God's Word, you've read things you don't understand. Okay? So what happens when I read things I don't understand, I put a question mark by it, and I date it. And I say, God, explain this to me. And you know, it's amazing that maybe the next year or the year after I'm reading the same passage, and all of a sudden I'm thinking, I know the answer to that. Or maybe somebody speaks on it, and then I get understanding. The Holy Spirit is the best person to give you guidance and interpret the Word of God. So as you're reading God's Word, listen for the Holy Spirit to give you guidance and understanding. Because do you know why we have so many denominations? Do you think the Holy Spirit caused that? Here's what I think. I think that a lot of people read God's Word and they interpret it the way they understand it, or maybe by tradition, rather than what the Holy Spirit says. This may be a news flash for you. But when we get to heaven, there's not going to be any denominations. You're going to have to rub elbows with people you don't like. Trust me. When you get there, you can say, Pastor Brad said this very thing. God loves you. And He has some wonderful things for you, but it's not going to come except through the Holy Spirit. It's not going to come except through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had His work. The Holy Spirit has His work as well. Last week, we addressed the issue regarding the Holy Spirit praying for us. Not only praying for us, but He's praying with us. As we approach the throne of God, the Holy Spirit is praying with us. And also, Scripture says that He's praying things we don't even know how to utter it. And the Holy Spirit is praying. Isn't that a marvelous thing? That the Holy Spirit has come to assist us. God Himself says, I want to assist you in your prayer life. Praise the Lord. Boy, how many of you need assisting in your prayer life? Boy, I sure do. I sure do. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does for us is that He gifts us for His service. He gifts us for God's service. And you can read about that in Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, Romans chapter 12, and other places throughout Scripture. And I'm not going to take time to go over all the gifts that are mentioned. You can read that for yourself. And I don't want to get bogged down in that. But I do want you to know that every gift is given for the benefit of the body of Christ. Every gift that is mentioned in Scripture is given for the benefit of the body of Christ. It's not for you just to say, whoo, look at me, look at my gift. I'm so spiritual because I got this gift. If you're not using your gift for the benefit of the church body, then you're not using your gift properly. Because every gift is given for the body of Christ. Now, where does the body of Christ live? In this church, right? Only this church. Oh, okay. You know, we have brothers and sisters outside these church walls. And their giftings can encourage us and help us. And our giftings can encourage them and help them. Some of the gifts, particularly the gift of evangelism, is used for building the kingdom of God by reaching people not in the body yet. Okay? And so, God has given many, many gifts. It's important that we know what the gift we have, but more important than that is that we need to know that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to accomplish what God has for us. Again, I'm not spending a lot of time on gifts. What I want to do is spend more time on how the Holy Spirit empowers us. Because you may say, I have a certain gift and I'm going to only work in this gift. But what if the Holy Spirit wants to do something in someone else's life that's outside your gift? Could the Holy Spirit give you that ability to work outside your gifting? To bless someone else? So more important than knowing your gift is in knowing the person who gives the gifts. That's more important. So that's why I'm not going to spend a lot of time on gifts. I'm just kind of giving that to you because you need to know that. I said last week that I wanted to teach today on the filling of the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be there yet. What I want to do today is talk about the empowering of the Holy Spirit, which is kind of the same thing. But a lot of times, and I've spoken myself in Ephesians, talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When you're filled with the Spirit, there's this character of Christ that comes up within you, and I'm going to speak more about that. But you may not be aware of it, but when you are filled with the Spirit and the character of Christ is evident in your life, not only do you have grace and the character of Christ when you're filled with the Spirit, but you also have the power of the Holy Spirit. Read to you. Remember, well, I'll read to you. And so the Holy Spirit was given to us to empower us for service. I want us to look at Acts 1, 4 through 9. And you may want to, if you have your Bibles or your phone, in a minute we're going to be talking about Acts chapter 2. You can go ahead and turn there. Because I don't have all of that on the overhead. Verses 4 through 9 in Acts chapter 1, Jesus was eating with his disciples. And he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom?" He replied, "Father knows. It's none of your business. But," verse 8, "you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. You know, a lot of times we get hung up on, when is Jesus coming back? I'd like to know that. But Jesus said, "None of your business. You'll know it when it happens. And there will be signs." But don't get hung up on that. What you need to get hung up on is that people are dying and going to hell, and it's our, and the Holy Spirit comes to empower you to share Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to empower you to bring glory to the Father. Not glory to yourself, but glory to the Father. That's why the Holy Spirit has come. Look at, I want you to, I don't know if you're familiar with concordance or not, but Strong's is a concordance that has every word in the Bible listed, and it also has, whether it's Hebrew or Greek, Aramaic, and the meaning of that. And so I want us to look at this word dynamis or dunamos, which is the word we get dynamite. And that's the word in the Greek that means power, or is translated power. There are things that we cannot do on our own that we need the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us and with us in order to accomplish God's will. Now, in Acts chapter 2, how many of you know much about Peter? A little bit. It seemed like before the Holy Spirit, every time he opened his mouth, he stuck his foot in it. Okay? Every time he opened his mouth, he wished he hadn't. He was always bumbling over his words, messing up. But in Acts chapter 2, it scripture says that the day of Pentecost had fully come. 120 disciples were in an upper room, And all of a sudden, as they were praying, a sound like a mighty rushing, mighty wind came upon them. And as it came upon them, they were in this house and the house was shaking. They may have thought they were in a tornado or something. The house was shaking, and all of a sudden these tongues of fire came and settled on each head of every one of them. And Scripture says that when they did that, they were all filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll just say this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the initial filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when a person first receives the filling of the Holy Spirit. The baptism comes, and immediately we find, well, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that he came out from the room and he started preaching. He started preaching Christ. And Scripture says that 3,000 people came to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Did Peter do that? That wasn't Peter. It was Peter. But it was the Holy Spirit in Peter that caused that to happen. Now, Peter was a lot like you and me. Okay? He didn't have it all together. He messed up a lot. But when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was able to do things he couldn't do. I want you to know this, that the Lord wants to do something in you and through you that you can't do. I'm not talking about fantasy stuff. Okay? I'm not talking about something you think, oh, well, that preacher's just, you know, he's just preaching. He's supposed to say that because he's the preacher. But I want you to know that the same Holy Spirit that rested on Peter can rest on you. And the same Holy Spirit that rested on Peter and spoke through him can speak through you and do things through you. One day, Peter was going by a temple. Peter and John went to pray. Do you know that song? And they met a lame man on the way. Said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have given to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Did Peter do that? Who did that? The Holy Spirit. You see, that same Holy Spirit that worked in Peter's life can work and does work in us. And you say, man, that's never happened to me. What if? So Paul, you remember him? Paul had been known as Saul. He was a killer of Christians. He came to receive Christ as his Savior. One day Paul was preaching. This guy comes up and interrupts his preaching. And as he was preaching, Acts chapter 13, verses 9 through 11, he encounters a sorcerer. And the sorcerer is interrupting Paul from sharing the good news. And he keeps interrupting and keeps interrupting, and Paul says to him, listen, quit interrupting. Here's what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to make you blind until the Lord decides to heal you. Those are my words. I don't know how long he was blind, but at least temporarily. And then Paul was able to preach, and people came to know Christ as a personal Lord. So
that was that Paul doing that?
No, it was the Holy Spirit doing that
through Paul.
So as we sit, and we can go through, I mean, we can keep on going and going and going and going and going. But what I want you to see is that a Spirit-filled child of God is also a Spirit-empowered minister of God. Do you get it? Let me say that again. A Spirit-filled child of God is also a Spirit-empowered minister of God.
How many of you like when you feel the Holy Spirit and there's love and peace and joy in your life? You just love that. I love that.
How many of you like to hear the Holy Spirit tell you to do something that you don't want to do? How many of you love to hear the Holy Spirit telling you things that make you uncomfortable? Why don't we see more of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in us, working through us? Here's what I think. I believe that many of us, and myself included, and I'm working on this, you can pray for me, that when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and gives us an impression that we should do something, we begin to rationalize it and say, what if Peter had done that? The Holy Spirit said, Peter, I want you to go out on the rooftop and I want you to preach in a language you didn't even ever study for. Well, I can't do that. I don't know Scythian or Persian or I don't know that. What would have happened to those 3,000 souls if Peter hadn't done that? And what if Paul got frustrated with the sorcerer and just smacked him? That's what I'd, want to do. What good would that have done? And here's what I'm thinking. Here's the sorcerer and he's interrupting Paul and trying to get him other people not to hear. And Paul is... he's kind of like this. Hearing him, what do I do about this? Cause him to get blind? Okay. Here you go. And you can read all through the book of Acts and you can find those things on and on and on and on. And the reason the Christians, the apostles, were able to do what they did is because they had this connection where they were listening to the Holy Spirit and they were just obeying, and they didn't reason it away. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit may tell us something, we say, well, what if it don't happen that way? So what? That's not your problem. Your problem is not what is God going to do or not going to do. That's not your problem. It's not my problem. My problem is, am I going to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do? That's my problem. And leave the results to the Lord. Is the Holy Spirit still as powerful today as he was back in Jesus' day? I want to read this passage to you. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19, 20, and 21. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now He is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world but also in the world to come. So how much power do you have according to this passage of Scripture? As much power as it took to raise Jesus from the dead, and how much power is that? I mean, He'd been dead for 3 days. I mean, dead, dead. Not just fake dead. Not just in a coma. He was dead, dead. Spear stuck through His heart. Can't get much deader than that. And the power, Holy Spirit, resurrected Him. Woo, that's a lot of power. And the same power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead is the power that abides in me and abides in you if you are a believer. That just knocked you down. So why don't we see it? Number one. The reason God gave the Holy Spirit so that we can bring glory to God. Not glory to ourselves. Not glory to our church. Oh, look what life changes. It's to bring glory to Him. Nobody else. Him alone. The second thing is, bring people into the kingdom of God. That's the reason. To bring people into the kingdom of God. Now, He may use miraculous powers. He may use healing. He may use a lot of other signs and wonders in order to do that. But God wants to bring people into His kingdom. A lot of times we think it's all about us. It's all about me. I want this, I want that, I want the other thing, and God, if You'll just give it to me, we'll be good. I'm sure everyone in here has something they would like the Lord to do for them. What if it's not about you? Just what if? What if it's about the people that you can touch for the kingdom? What if? Jesus said, I'm going to give you power so that you can be witnesses. Now, please don't hear me say that God does not want to do miraculous things for you and in you and all of that. I believe that. We've seen some marvelous things done. But it's not all about that. It's about bringing glory to God and about bringing people to Christ. So, what is the biggest hindrance to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? I think it's disobedience. Disobedience. We feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to do something and then we rationalize it away. Rather than moving,
saying, okay, I don't know how this is going to turn out, but I'm going to just do it. The results are left up to God. The results are not left up to me. I'm just going to do what God tells me to do, or I feel impressed to do. Now, you may blow it. I've blown it a lot of times. Oh, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. But you know what? You've got to learn how to discern that. And the only way you're going to learn how to discern that is just start moving upon the impressions you feel in your heart that this is what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. That may be far-fetched for you, but if you question it, I think it's okay to question as long as you don't discount it. If you question it because it's not something that may be moral, it may be immoral, or you question it because this is contrary to what God's Word says, then that's probably a good thing that you question it. And probably not from the Holy Spirit. It's from a different spirit. So, not praying for guidance, not listening to the Holy Spirit, and not following Him not only causes your growth in Christ to be stunted, but it causes your power to be cut off. Okay? It chokes off the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Listen to me. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have more power than you know. You have more power. You have more power. And you have more power than you know. When you pray, listen, and obey. Without rationalizing it away. Without fear being part of that equation. Nike has a motto. Just do it. Just do it. I think that's a Holy Spirit word. Just do it. You will never know the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through you until you begin to pray for guidance. Listen to the Holy Spirit and do what He says. No matter how crazy you think it might be. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us to do things that are comfortable for us, not usually. He tells us things that are hard for us. Would you agree? Just do it. Father, I come before you this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, every single one of us can move in the power of the Holy Spirit. If Peter can do it, you can do it. If Paul can do it, you can do it. God, you've not called many who are intelligent and who are the best of the best. You call people such as us so that you and your glory may be demonstrated. So Lord, I pray that this week we'll be able to listen to you, follow you, and Lord, that you would do marvelous things in and through us. Not for ourselves,
what for you. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name.